it all needs to come back to what do we deliver to our clients? At the end of the day, we're a service-based business. We're about delivering valuable advice to help the economy and our small businesses grow.
Well, cheers, everyone, and welcome back to Future Proof. I'm your host, Bill Sheridan, and I've got a question for you to start out the podcast this week. Just how busy are you? And while you're thinking, let me take just a minute to tell you that this week's episode is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So again, that question, just how busy are you? And I mean, we're all busy, right? I mean, some would argue we, and that's we collectively, are busier than ever before. And that may be true, although I might argue that the reason that's true isn't entirely because we've got more work to do than ever. Here's an example. There's this blog I stumbled across recently written by a guy named Kyle Kowalski, who quit his stressed out 80-hour-a-week job a few years ago to focus on what he calls conscious and intentional living. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? Anyway, he wrote this blog post not long ago about what he calls the 7 hypotheses about why we're so busy these days. And that's a concept that Kowalski calls busyness. That's B-U-S-Y-N-E-S-S. Here are some of his ideas, and I'm using his words here. So 1 on his list, we treat busyness as a badge of honor and a trendy status symbol. In other words, we glorify busyness to kind of show our importance. 2, busyness as job security. That's an outward sign of productivity and company loyalty. 3, busyness as FOMO. That's fear of missing out, right? Packing our calendars with as much stuff as possible because we don't want to miss anything. 4, busyness as a byproduct of the digital age. Our 24/7 connected culture is blurring the line between life and work in a lot of ways, promoting multitasking and never turning off. Busyness as a time filler. For some reason, just having what Kowalski calls idle moments as restorative white space feels a little too much like slacking off to us a lot of the time, doesn't it? 6, busyness as necessity, because let's face it, some folks have to work multiple jobs just to make ends meet while also caring for children at home. And 7, busyness as escapism. That's a way of not having to face the tough questions in life, right? And if you want to read that post in its entirety, you'll find it on Kowalski's website. That's slow.com, and that's spelled S-L-O-W-W with 2 W's.com. The interesting thing to me about that list is that too much work is not one of the categories on that list, right? We all make time for the stuff that's really important and valuable to us. And if we find ourselves really busy with stuff that's not important or valuable, well, that just means, to paraphrase Ferris Bueller, that our priorities are way out of whack and we've got to do something to get them back in line. There's a great business tool out there that can help us do that. It was developed by the folks at EOS Worldwide. EOS is a business operating system that's designed to help leaders get more of what they want out of their businesses. And in the interest of full transparency, I am an EOS implementer for the BLI. Drop me a line if you want to learn more, bill@macpa.org. Anyway, this tool I'm talking about, it's called Delegate and Elevate. The folks at EOS will tell you that you need to be spending as much time as possible on the things that you love to do and that you're great at doing. That's your sweet spot, right? And that's where your organization needs you to be spending most of your time because they'll get most of the bang for their buck with you spending your time there. And the other stuff, you need to eventually be able to delegate a lot of that away so you can spend your valuable time doing things that truly add value. Imagine that. Well, my guest this week is someone who has built a growing global business that's designed to help accounting and finance pros do exactly that, free up their time so they can provide higher value services for their clients and customers. His name is Nick Sinclair. He's the chairman of The Outsourced Accountant, which has more than 1,100 team members spread out across the United States, Australia, and the Philippines. It's expected to grow even more this year, too, from what I understand. They serve clients in 8 countries currently, and what they do is entirely based on the premise of getting the right people doing the right work. Now, how do we free up the time of our junior staff, so for instance, so that they can take on some of the stuff that our intermediaries are doing? And then how do we free up our intermediaries' time so that they can take on some of the stuff that the seniors are doing? And how do we free up our partners' time as well? All of that is part of the outsourced accountant. They do that by filling any type of role that a firm would have or need. Anything from administration to bookkeeping to accounting to marketing and beyond. It's about making your accounting firm more efficient and helping you add greater value. And that's what we've been told for years now, right? We don't need to fill our time doing mind-numbing, number-crunching back-office tasks. I mean, we've got machines and services that will do that stuff faster and more accurately than we can ever hope to. So spend our time doing the things that we love to do and that we're great at. That's what our clients want us to be spending our time on anyway, because that's going to help them get better and become more future ready. The ultimate goal here is to have everyone doing the things that truly add value. And how great would it be if we learned how to fill our days doing that? That would be great indeed. So Nick and I talked about all of that in this interview. We talked about how services like this impact our profession's talent shortage and what they mean for the future of the profession. Really interesting stuff here from a guy who's built a fast-growing business around the important work of helping our profession evolve and become more future-ready. Great stuff. Here is Nick Sinclair. So, Nick, thanks for joining me today. Give me a little bit of your origin story. So where did the idea for the outsourced accountant come from? What was happening that made you think we need to do this?
Excellent. Well, firstly, thanks for having me today, Bill. So my origin was that I ran a financial planning and accounting practice in Australia. So we had 38 staff in Australia. We were really struggling with capacity in the fact that we had 5 support staff for every professional staff we had. So we're very admin heavy, particularly in the financial planning space. Cloud technology for accounting, this was, you know, back 10 years ago, was new, and we were moving everything to the cloud and we wanted to be more proactive to our clients. And I was over in the Philippines for a board meeting. I sit on a board for a group called the Entrepreneurs Organization. So it actually originated out of the US. It's a global organization. And I was in the Philippines and we went and met with one of our members, our Australian members, and he had about 30 staff over there and he was generating about 4,000 leads a day. And it just fascinated me with the ability of the people in the Philippines. And I looked at it and went, well, how can I do that for my firm? So we ended up putting on 30 staff in the Philippines, completely moving a lot of our back office to the Philippines. We maintained our 38 staff in Australia. They were all now predominantly client-facing, and then technically training the global team as well. And then I went on a roadshow with a guy called Rob Nixon, who is known in the US. He's very well known in Australia. He trains accountants or coaches accountants. And after the roadshow, we spoke to about 1,400 people in 3 weeks. After the first event, I had 9 firms come up to me and say, Nick, we love what you're doing. We don't want to replicate what you're doing. Do you have any spare desks in your office? And being, I call it young, dumb now, but I call it, others call it entrepreneurial. We, after the roadshow and after 9 months, had 100 staff working for other accounting firms. And then it doubled the next year, then it doubled the next year, then it doubled the next year. And, you know, 5 years in, we're 1,100 staff. We'll go to about 1,800 this year. We now service clients across 8 countries. We've got offices in the US, offices in Australia. So the outsourced accountant came out of default for the challenges that I was having within my own firm. We were a platinum partner with Xero. It was the only cloud technology at the time in Australia. And we were looking at how do we deliver more to clients for the same cost. So how do we add more value? How do we really help them grow their businesses, not just do their compliance work? And being able to get the right people doing the right work within our business meant that our team locally could spend a lot more time with our clients proactively without having to bill them per hour to go and visit their office or to give them some advice or take their calls when they need our help.
Just kind of freeing your time up to add that higher value.
Yeah, it's always about my philosophy with this is getting the right people to do the right work. And we often see partners and senior staff doing work that others in the firm should be doing, but they don't have the time to do. I mean, particularly in America during the tax season, the amount of hours that is worked is absolutely phenomenal. In Australia, we're fortunate enough that they don't work anywhere near as many hours. They don't work Saturdays, but tax time's still busy over here. But America is like, what we found is that it's next level. There is no work-life balance. Their life is their work.
Right.
And, you know, the need for those our services is just been growing and growing in the US, hence why we've got an office there now.
And all these folks who are working for you in the Philippines, they're all accountants. They're all trained in how to do all this stuff. And
our model's slightly different, but the majority of our staff are accountants, but not all of them. So pretty much the way that our offering works is that any role that an accounting firm would have or need, administration, bookkeeping, accounting, marketing, EAs for partners. Mm-hmm. It's about how does your accounting firm become more efficient? How do we get the right people doing the right work?
Gotcha.
So yeah, it's a range of roles, but in saying that, 70% of our staff are accountants.
It's a one-stop shop, in other words, really. I mean, so tell me a little bit how this works. What's the process? I mean, somebody wants to work with you. How does it all come together?
Yeah, so the first thing is really, and this is probably one of the challenges that firms have, it's really mapping out what your people strategy is. Now, when I talk about people strategy, and one of my passions is people, it's why I love the business I'm in, but firms don't really have a strategy for putting on people. Typically, they work out their financial. So they work out, we want to increase revenues by X and we want to have this amount of turnover. When I ask them the question around, all right, well, how much capacity does your firm have now? What happens if you get 10 new clients today? How many new people would you need? And I normally get a blank face. So the first step is really mapping out your people strategy. What are the people that you need to be able to achieve the capacity you have today plus your growth objectives?
Mm-hmm.
Once you've done that, it's really then identifying, all right, how do we make your local US team more efficient? How do we push some of the work down from them and then put that into a global team? So you're setting up a second office now or a third or a tenth, depending on your size. And that's based in the Philippines. So it's about pushing the work down from everyone locally. A lot of the time it starts with, you know, the administration or the bookkeeping. It really varies. Our clients that have been doing it for 6 years are now doing all the work that's done locally at all levels can be done over there. So it's setting up those same structures, but over a longer period of time.
Right. So it's really about, I mean, first steps are like, what structure do you need to get where you need to go, right? I mean, when you're talking about people and that type of thing, how do we need to structure this organization in order to achieve what we want to achieve?
Yeah, and the reality is that, I mean, I'm talking quite high level in that having a people strategy is great, but most firms don't have the ability to do that. I mean, if we look at now, we're right in the midst of tax season, people are absolutely buried. So it's really around going, all right, well, let's look at how do we get work off the most junior staff that you have? How do we push work off them? What right. work are they doing? What are they spending their day doing? How do we take some of that away? I mean, statistically, accountants spend about 40 hours a month doing administration-related work. So how do we take off some of that work? And then once they're freed up, how do we take some work off the intermediates and the seniors and keep pushing it down? So it's a process of elimination. We have business development consulting team that help go through that process. But it's really identifying how can we free up your team, push some of that work down and get it offshore. I mean, we've got some US clients have only got four, like one of our firms is they have four CPAs. They're all senior CPAs. So there wasn't any juniors under them to keep pushing down. So with that firm, we identified, all right, what are the tasks that those seniors are doing, the four of them, that we can take off and quickly train and free up capacity with a new global team. So it's just really, I mean, and that's part of the process we go through is we work with firms to identify what's going to add the most value to them straight away because people do lack a lot of time.
Yeah, time is a huge factor. And give me an example of what kind of services do you offer for your typical client?
Our typical client varies a lot. So we've got sole practitioners. So, you know, single operator firms with 5 to 10 staff overseas with us, right through to second tier firms. and everything in between. So, you know, the types of roles we've got about, I think it's 35 different roles that we have within our office, you know, audit, compliance work, you know, Power BI, data analytics, right through to client service administration, EAs for partners. So pretty much the easiest way to do it is if you look at any accounting firm in the US and you look at the roles that they employ, we have all of those roles. So people can employ all of those roles. Mm-hmm. On top of that, though, we also say, what are the roles that you would love to have, but you can't afford it? Marketing coordinators, you know, EAs, you know, more administration, business development. You look at all the roles that firms that an ideal business or a corporate business would be able to afford to have, but smaller firms can't.
Right.
So how do we make you more efficient, and how do we deliver resources for bigger firms? Things like HR, IT services, all of those that they have in-house. I was in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, and one of the firms, they're about a 400 people firm, and they have three IT guys on the ground, and they're very senior IT guys, but they're doing level one IT work. And the turnover of those roles is high because it's not a very fulfilling role. They're senior people but having to do junior work. So we're looking at putting in some level one and two support in their global team, and then the local guys can actually do what they should be doing, which is, how do we make this business more efficient? What technologies are we using? How do we implement and drive those? Because across a 400 people business, if you could save them all 1 hour, one minute every hour across 400 people, I mean, that's where they should be spending their time. The level one and two support, my computer's not working, we'll plug your keyboard in. That can be done over the phone and remote.
Right.
So it's about making your firm more efficient, getting the right people to do the right work, and more importantly, at the right cost.
Well, and it sounds like you guys are offering the kind of things that a lot of firms here in the US anyway, are looking to provide for their clients. One of the hot issues right now in our profession, at least on the US side, is something called client accounting services. How do we provide the clients, customers that we work with these types of, you know, higher level accounting services so that they don't have to worry about doing any of that on their end? So, I mean, that's almost what it sounds like you're providing. This sounds like a little bit like client accounting services in a box, so to speak. I mean, am I wrong? No need to go through the pain of building a CAS practice when firms can just kind of work with an outfit like you instead.
Yeah, I mean, look, they can certainly employ the bookkeepers. I mean, a lot of firms, and this is globally, a lot of firms are setting up, accounting firms are setting up bookkeeping divisions and business mm-hmm. advisory or cloud technology advisory, and plugging all the apps in. So we certainly provide the staff for all of that. What I suppose we do is we free up the team in the US to then be able to have the conversations with the clients, but be able to build a team behind them to do all of that work. So that's the real benefit with our clients that, you know, a lot of them are, and I find that, I mean, it's interesting because globally we do a lot of SEO, we're paid SEO and a range of things. And in the US, it's really challenging because our SEO, we're competing against accounting firms, and to the point where we've canned a lot of our SEO strategy there, because when clients are typing in outsourced accounting, they're wanting an accounting firm to do their work.
Right.
As opposed to in Australia, if you type in outsourced accounting, I mean, that's accounting firms looking for someone to outsource to.
Right. Right.
So I suppose what this our offering really allows people to do is it allows people to free up their local team and have a technical team to drive whatever services they want to sell and give advice on to their clients. The challenge that I find with a lot of firms, particularly the smaller ones that are, you know, under 20 staff, which is 80% of the industry, is that they don't have the ability or the affordability to go and employ a bookkeeper and a data analyst and all of these roles.
Right.
And if they did, they would have to have significant revenue to cover the cost of that. So when you look at it and go, all right, well, we're going to offer bookkeeping. I'm going to employ a bookkeeper in the Philippines. It's going to cost me 20 grand a year, all inclusive. Then it's a smaller cost. You only need a couple of clients to break even on it. And then you can grow it and then continue to build out the team. If you were to ask your local team to do bookkeeping work and their CPAs, it's unlikely that they're going to be fulfilled in their role or want to do that.
So, right.
So this allows firms to really build out that service offering in a more cost-effective and scale it quicker.
And be a little more forward thinking and help their clients grow rather than just like crunching the numbers, right?
Yeah, well, look, I can tell you by the SEO numbers of search traffic, people want this. I can tell you now by the traffic, people want this as a service. They're looking for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, so there are other people out there who are providing, you know, bits and pieces of this. We hear a lot about, for instance, outsourced CFO services or outsourced bookkeeping and that type of thing. How does what you're doing differ from those other types of outsourced accounting services out there?
Yeah. So when I had my firm, prior to setting up my own team within the Philippines, I tried India, I tried Vietnam, and the traditional outsourcing that's been in the accounting world for 20 plus years is I send a job and I get a job back. Mm-hmm. So if I have some tax work, I send it over, they do it, they send it back. If it's bookkeeping, they will bookkeep this one client and they'll charge $15 or $20 an hour and then I on-charge it to a client. What I found with that model though is that the quality consistency varied. So the more that firm grew, the lower the quality was because they're having to bring in new people, train them up, get them up to speed really quick. Mm-hmm. I also found some real challenges around communication. I had no involvement in the process and my firm had certain ways that we wanted things done, but it had to be done their way, not the way that I wanted it done. And the third one is being a control freak was that I want to control the process. I want to control the development of the people. I want to be able to bring a team in, develop them, build my culture within them and have them as my team. I don't want them as they progress going and working for other clients. So this model that we pivoted towards, and it's, I say it's a newer model. I mean, we're the largest provider globally for this role or for this type of business. We're the second largest employer of accountants in the Philippines, is that you get to control the team. What roles do you want to employ? Mm-hmm. We are the legal employer, but they only work for you. So technically you build your culture, you build your team. They're just another office of yours. So it gives accounting firms the ability to really control the process. And it is cheaper than when you send a job and get a job back. When you add up, if you had more than 5 or 10 jobs a month, then you could have a full-time dedicated person doing it, working 40 hours a week.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, it strikes me that these types of services are, I don't know, kind of changing the face of the accounting and finance profession in a way. How do you think the movement towards these types of services is changing our profession?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, if you look at our growth, 5 years ago, we had no staff. We've got 1,100 staff now working for a predominantly Australian and US accounting firms. We're going to go to 1,800 this year. Within 3 years, we'll be 5,500. Within 10 years, we'll be 20,000 people. If you look at, you know, this is becoming reality. And this is, I suppose, where it's slightly different. In Australia, obviously, cloud adoption was a lot earlier. Outsourcing now in Australia is more who isn't doing it as opposed to who is. Right. So in the US, we're still really in the early adoption phase.
Sure.
So it is really new. How I think it's changing is that I think that technology is changing this industry is the main driver. Like if you look at bookkeeping and what their traditional role was, you know, 10 years ago, a lot of it was data entry. Bookkeeping now is that technology is now doing the majority of that. So you look at now, well, what is the role going to be moving forward? Where do they add more value to the clients? And I think outsourcing is just a piece of that puzzle. It's about getting the right people doing the right work so that we can add value to our clients. And client needs are changing and clients want things quicker. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got some clients that are running 24-hour operations now as accounting firms. So they're getting work done at night. New client comes in, needs something done, they can have it tomorrow.
Expectations are changing, you know,
significantly. Yeah. I mean, you look at it with cloud technology now that you can't hide from your work. I mean, we used to be able to hide. I know within our office, you'd have piles of files all over the desk. A client would ring up and ask where it was, and then suddenly it would go to the top of the pile. And then others would go on top and it would go down the bottom. Now they just log into the online accounting and see if you've reconciled it or not. And they look at when you last logged in and how long you're logged in for. So you can't hide. Is probably one thing anymore. The expectations are a lot more. We're in a gig economy. Technology is advancing. So I think, look, to be honest, for me, I think it's a really positive thing. I think we've got some challenges potentially with the typical graduate program that used to take, you know, 7 to 10 years to leadership. you know, come in, make the coffee, do all the really horrible work that no one wanted to do. But we just did it because we wanted to progress through the firm. We worked ridiculous hours. We're in early, we're in late. Right. Now, people are work. They want work-life balance. They want to work 9 to 5. They want to get paid more. They want more fulfilling. They want to work from home or work for remote offices. They want to work on a beach. So I think that the industry is changing in a positive way, but it all needs to come back to what do we deliver to our clients? At the end of the day, we're a service-based business. We're about delivering valuable advice to help the economy and our small businesses grow. Mm-hmm. So I think we always need to, I think a lot of hype around technology and that gets lost sometimes and that they forget, well, technology is never going to replace people. And some people say to me, you know, it's great, you got 1,100 staff, you're going to be 5,000, but technology will wipe all of your roles out. And I'm like, the reality is that people are always needed in the process. People can go and Google it, but they want accountants to hold their hand and mentor and walk them through the process and be there for them. So, you know, people's a massive part of accounting and always will be.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of brings me to my next question, because that people dilemma is at the forefront of everybody's minds, at least here in the United States. There's quite frankly a shortage of talented accounting and finance talent out there right now. And, you know, firms and corporate finance departments are looking harder than ever for those talented professionals to come in and help them out. So I guess my question is what you do kind of an answer to that talent dilemma? And if so, will services like this kind of lessen the need for talented accountants long term?
It's a really interesting question. And that's not, I can tell you now, talent issues are not just US, it's globally. There's a real shortage of quality accountants. What we do really complements people. So it allows people to fast track and grow their local people quicker. So what we typically see is that, you know, I was talking about that path for leadership where it can take 7 to 10 years. When you've got a global team, you're able to fast track those people within your firm to make that at least half the time. So if I was an accounting firm and I had graduates coming in, for example, and I said, look, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on developing you. We're going to put in place learning plans, personal development plans. We're going to mentor you. And instead of it taking 7 to 10 years to get to leadership, we want to work with you. And assuming that you can, we're going to get you there in 3 to 5 years. How we're able to do that is we've got a global team that do a lot of the process-orientated work. We're the technical engine and client-facing here. So we want to develop you. And then we're going to have all of that stuff taken care of our global team. We're innovative. We're leading edge. If you were offering that versus come and work for me and you get paid really poor money, I want you to work 7 days a week. And this is, I suppose, a bit of the reality is that I've seen some of the ads that people are posting and I'm like, I'd never want to work for you.
Right.
So it's about attracting the best talent. The best talent want to work at firms where their career's progressing, they're inspired, they're helping people, and they're doing what they're good at doing. So you need technical roles still in the US. It's not all the crunching goes overseas. But the reality is that you're going to be able to attract. So it's a real compliment. Firms don't have enough capacity. I mean, if you look at most firms, they're working at least 6 days a week in tax season, if not 7. So how do we get back to only working 40 to 50 hours a week for the whole team? So imagine a business where your whole office left at 5:30 at night, where you actually kick people out and tell them to go and get a life. I've had some of our clients that have gone through this process. And they said to me, Nick, the biggest challenge we're having is we're having to get a life because my life was this for 20 years.
Wow.
Now I've got this time and I need to become more of an interesting person.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm allowed to have holidays now. I can actually go away. I don't just, you know, chain to my desk.
That's like nirvana for accounting and finance professionals. Yeah,
so it is, but it's just about, you know, building out the capacity in a cost effective way so that you can, you know, deliver the services that your clients need and want and can afford. But it's also, you know, really focusing at the end of the day around your people. How do you develop and grow your people? And I ask this question a lot of times to accounting firms is, you know, do you have a personal development plan and learning plans for every single one of your team members? Mm-hmm. And most of them just look at me like I'm talking another language. It's like, well, if you're not developing your people, they're going to be no better in 12 months' time. And you know, I had this conversation with someone. I spoke at an event yesterday, and you know, longevity in a role is not always a positive thing. You know, there's accounting firms that have got staff for 10 years, And those staff are no better people today than they were 10 years ago. They haven't been developed. Mm-hmm. So just because someone's been working for you for 10 years doesn't mean that 10 years is a good thing. You know, how are you making your people better people? We focus so much on our clients. We focus so much on technology, but we forget our biggest asset is our people. It's not technology and it's not our clients. It's our people.
That's right. It's that. It's almost become a cliche, but I forget who said it the first time, but it was the notion of, you know, well, what if I train my people and they leave? You know, well, the other side of that coin is well, what if I don't train them and they stay? You know,
so it's and most do, to be honest. It's, you know, most stay. They don't go unless they're poor.
That's right. So I mean, given where we're at with services like the ones that you're providing and how they're evolving and the ever changing nature of what we do, what advice would you give a student who is studying to become an accounting or finance pro today? I mean, where should they kind of set their sights? And are they learning the stuff that they ought to be learning?
Look, to be honest, when I talk to graduates, and I do a lot of this in the Philippines, I speak at a lot of the universities, and I do it in Australia and even in the US, I think it's the most exciting time to enter the accounting space, because in the past it was, you know, it wasn't the most fun progression. You were doing work that you didn't enjoy doing. You'd work long hours. The role of an accountant over the next 5 to 10 years is developing and evolving. So I think it's the most, you know, I call it interesting and inspiring time to be joining the profession. Mm-hmm. I think the skills that they need are different to what they were in the past. So a lot more of their role is going to be client-facing. A lot more of it is, you know, at the end of the day, they're selling advice. So it is selling, but they're selling advice that helps their clients. So a lot more of the soft skills. They need to be people. They need a great technical ability to be able to absorb that, but also be able to communicate it in a simple way. The other element is they also need to be tech savvy, which I think a lot of the graduates coming through fortunately are, but they need to have a lot more tech savvy, because everything moving forward is going to be technology-based, cloud-based. You know, it's scary with AI and automation and everything else, happening. But yeah. I think, to be honest, it's, you know, it's an exciting time to be coming into the profession and being able to not have to just be sitting behind a desk crunching numbers. I mean, it's interpreting and adding value now. I think it's, you know, for me personally, I think it's the most exciting time.
I mean, it is kind of exciting. I mean, you think about the fact that, I mean, right now we're kind of building the blueprint for what the future of this profession is going to look like. And it is exciting from that standpoint.
Well, it is. I mean, I look at it like cloud accounting in Australia 10 years ago and where we are now. Like, this industry's completely changed. Mm-hmm. Like, there is not much similar. Like, it's exciting. The work that people do, everything's just a lot more fun and interesting. And I think that's what a lot of businesses forget about is fun.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's a more fun industry. It's also what I'm calling a cooler industry. It's not the typical accountant profile now. Typical accountant has changed and will continue to change.
What does the future of this profession look like to you?
Look, I think, like I said before, I think the most exciting part of it is that it's, we're going to add a lot more value to our clients moving forward. In the past, we were a lot of, I suppose, what we did was looking backwards. So now we're going to be able to interpret, we're able to give advice on numbers that are both up to date. We're going to have a lot more data to give a lot better advice. So I think that clients will rely on us more for that assistance. So in the past, it was, you know, 12 or 18 months, but given their numbers would, you know, if they had a good year, would have to, they'd have to pay tax, and then they would hate us because they had to pay tax. But, you know, and they valued us based on whether they paid tax or not, which is not a gauge of what we've done. So, but I think moving forward, we're going to be a lot more proactive. They're going to rely on us and for our advice a lot more. And we're going to play a more critical role than we have in the past.
Well, Nick, great conversation, great insights. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Really had fun.
That was Nick Sinclair, chairman of The Outsourced Accountant, and you can find out more by visiting theoutsourcedaccountant.com. And another quick reminder that our sponsor this week is the Business Learning Institute. Find out how the BLI can help you and your career by visiting blionline.org. That's it for now. Have a great week, friends. I'll see you next time.